I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Exactly 10 days before the service of consecration took place in this chapel in 1869, there was another grand opening, that of the Folies Bergère in Paris. Its mixture of exotic costumes, tantalizing music, and colorful cabaret may have given the organizers of the service here a few ideas. Or maybe not. It was certainly a very long service. You are getting off lightly this morning. Then, exactly 10 days later, there was yet another opening, the first Sainsbury's, a dairy shop in Drury Lane, a poor part of London in those days. 1869. It also saw the arrival of some significant people, Rasputin, Chamberlain, Gandhi, and Matisse all came into the world. It saw the arrival of significant places. Girton College opened, the first women's college here in Cambridge, and the first council housing was built in Liverpool. Literature arrived. 1869, seeing the publication of Tolstoy's War and Peace, Dostoevsky's The Idiot, Stuart Mill's The Subjection of Women. And what of religion? Well, the First Vatican Council was called, the Irish Church Act disestablished the Church of Ireland, and debate was certainly heating up as to what people of faith were to make of Darwin's The Evolution of Species, published just a few years before. And so, the Metaphysical Society was founded in 1869 too, prominent clergy and others meeting to discuss how theology might relate to the developing sciences and philosophies of the modern world. It folded, by the way, only 11 years later, because, according to Tennyson, after 10 years of strenuous effort, no one had succeeded in even defining metaphysics. It was an exciting time, with many changes not only on the horizon, but coming into harbor. And here, into those times, came this chapel. It's tempting to imagine that it was an immediate success, but as we know, there were considerable challenges. Some didn't like the building. It was too tall, or too short, or too wide. Some didn't like the decoration. Many didn't like the debt that was incurred, and the fact that fellows had to take a cut in their salaries to help pay it off. And though the chapel had been built in part to seat more students than the old one, fines for non-attendance were ended 3 years before, and so congregations dropped or even disappeared. In August 1873, for the first time in living memory, no one turned up to Holy Communion here, except the two clergy, and they apparently hardly spoke to one another. Although acoustically good for music, it was not good for speaking without any microphones. And there were falling outs about the length of services and about the content of sermons. It got so bad that sermons were suspended here for 9 years. The chapel, it's fair to say, had a long settlement period. But when Bishop Selwyn had preached in 1861, hinting at the need for a new chapel, although only one page of that sermon's 25 pages, yes, you've got off lightly again, only one page mentions a chapel, the bishop was arguing for a more uplifting and capacious place of worship. And uplifting and capacious seem good words. Times have changed a lot since 1869. Rather symbolically, perhaps, the opening of the Folies Bergère and Sainsbury's in the same month that this chapel was consecrated remind us that an increasing entertainment and infotainment culture, mixed with the spreading powerful empire of consumerism into hearts and lives, has contributed, along with some pretty robust disbelief in the existence of God and many doubts about the integrity of institutionalized religion, to a situation where a chapel such as this cannot just sit here and expect instant respect or even interest from a present generation of students, staff, and fellows. If the chapel is to be a friend and partner to this community, it must earn its place, earn its value. And Selwyn's call for this space to be uplifting and capacious may be a good place to focus. By uplifting, of course, I mean first and foremost a lifting up of hearts to God. This is a place of Christian worship and one, I hope, where we're unafraid to reason and unashamed to adore, as we seek to orientate our lives according to the great mysteries, eternity, life, love, beauty, goodness, and the magnetism within the human soul that feels drawn to a source of all these things, the sense that ultimately reality is trustworthy, and that there are adventures of meaning to be made in this existence we find ourselves part of. To take ourselves off the high street, out of the noise of now, and to discover this place, either when its pulse beats with music and word and movement, or as an empty space, quietly sitting here, waiting for you to stop, and maybe hear the serious hungers within you, the potential and pain, the need to address your future with a reliable compass that distills and defrosts the inhuman. This place is here to uplift, to stop us being simmered down by a competitive and anxious and distracted and often cruel world, to hear within that you are loved and lovable, and not just here to accumulate and build up your little podium before death, but rather discover life. And it's here not just to lift up hearts, but also eyes, to help us see. Human beings are rather good at not seeing things, injustices that don't affect them personally, poverty that isn't being lived by them, oppressions of minorities they are not part of, or even a planet they don't think about. And the gospel of Christ, the foundation of this place, calls out to us to wake up and look. And not just to look, but to act, to translate the words on our mouths into relationships, priorities, and sometimes courageous decisions. We heard where it took Jesus just now, causing a right old rumpus in the temple, making enemies that would get their revenge. He wasn't executed because he was a nice person. It was because he stood up for the overlooked, pointed to injustice. And if our hearts are uplifted in here, then we have a duty to ensure other hearts can be pulled up too, out of despair. And with many others here, the chapel is trying to keep a strong and resolute heart in the college. Finally, that leads me to the other word, capacious. And I'm not meaning just having a bigger building that can seat more people, though that is important. I'm interpreting capacious in its largest sense, generous, full of room, full of invitation. This, as Jesus cites in the gospel, is a house for all people, all, whatever their gender or race or religion or disability or sexual orientation or identity, whatever faith or none, whoever, wherever they are in life. So to be capacious means to open this space for meeting or for concerts, for welfare events, for readings, for social justice activity, to be a source for pastoral care, a place for refreshment and encounter, and a place where your life and maybe your hurt are taken seriously and listened to. This is a community where people begin to feel they generally belong, not just fit in. No longer strangers, in the words of our first reading. If this place is to be uplifting and capacious, it's only to make those who spend time in here equally uplifting in their lives and capacious in their souls. And over the years, this chapel has often befriended and spoken up with people who have been pushed to margins. Long may this continue to be a big ark where every weird and wonderful animal has to budge over a bit in the straw to make room for another. No one owns this ark. It is here for the journey of all God's creatures. We're not in 1869. Our times, though, are equally complex, divided, full of changes for good, and many trends at the moment frightening and dark. Faith continues to inspire lives of love and sacrifice. And there's a lot of bad religion in the world doing a lot of damage. So we do what we can and where we are, a place that invites us to the spiritual adventures of faith and beauty and justice in St. John's College. Let's rededicate ourselves today and model together a life within this college community for another 150 years that is uplifting and capacious. For only in this way, on this day of celebration and thanks, will we be both loyal to the past and loyal to the future.